Today on Real Life Radio.
It is God's desire that he bestow supernaturally upon your heart his divine influence. That's called grace. It's a special benefit is the meaning of the word. Unmerited favor. It means God chooses to put it upon you even if you don't deserve it. How about this? God puts it upon you because we don't deserve it.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Now, before we get into today's message, I want to ask you what you think of when you hear the word miracle. It might seem unbelievable, but America's history is full of God-given miracles, and our current featured resource will tell you all about them. It's a great book. It's called Miracles in American History, 32 Amazing Stories of Answered Prayer, and it's by Susie Federer. Get your copy right now for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And now, let's get into the message. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called The Book of Philippians with a message titled, How to Have the Peace of God When, Part 1. Here now as we begin chapter 4 with verses 1 through 4, the Apostle Paul writes his letter with a more fatherly approach. He prepares the church at Philippi for what's ahead as he comforts them with God's grace and peace. You see, we can't have joy without first having the Lord's grace and peace. Grace is unmerited favor from the Lord, while peace is the prosperity of the soul and quietness of mind. When we stand fast in the Lord and in His Word, we are sure to find rest. When our minds are stayed on Him, our focus is on His boundless love and His protection. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us how to have the peace of God even when we've forgotten who we are. As Christians, we need to keep reminding ourselves that we are God's beloved, brothers and sisters born of the Holy Spirit. To be in the family of God means that we are one among many. Now, in his message called, How to Have the Peace of God When, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
The Bible tells us over and over again, grace to you and peace. In fact, if you're a note taker, in Galatians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul opens it up to the church at Galatia. And he says, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. He writes to the church of the Ephesians, and he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He writes to the Colossians, and he says to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. To the Corinthians, and what a church that was. He writes to them, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll see in a moment that he wrote to the church at Philippi the same way. He wrote to the church at Rome in Romans chapter 1, verse 7, a church that was in the thick of emperor worship. It was the Babylon of its day. He wrote to the church at Rome and he says, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father, and here you go, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace. God's word and Paul's message to the closing remarks of these precious people is grace. Grace, the Bible teaches us, is that word charis. It means God's divine influence upon the human heart. We need God's grace. It is sovereign. It is God's desire that he bestow supernaturally upon your heart his divine influence. That's called grace. It's a special benefit is the meaning of the word. Unmerited favor. It means God chooses to put it upon you even if you don't deserve it. How about this? God puts it upon you because we don't deserve it. Unmerited favor given to us by God. And the word implies that it's bestowed upon you. What comes to mind when you hear the word bestowed? We don't use that word much anymore, but to have something bestowed upon you. It means that you're picked out and you didn't earn it. You didn't cross the finish line first. It's that you're called out of the crowd, as it were, and you are, by God, bestowed with his grace. What a tremendous thing. And then that's that word peace, God's peace. If your name is Irene, that's the Greek word for peace. The word means prosperity of the soul. Don't you love that? You can't buy it. But all those who possess the peace of God are rich. There are people who have some of the greatest economic portfolios in the world, and they're not rich of the soul, are they? They're not happy. Nothing of this world can purchase that. God says, I bestow my peace upon you. The word also means oneness, a quietness of mind. America needs the peace of God. The quietness of mind. America needs the gospel. And so when Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, just sneak ahead for a second, and or I should say behind, in the fact that in chapter 1, verse 2, way back when, he wrote, grace to you and peace, those familiar words. That's how he started his love letter to them, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So verse 1, look at it with me. He says, therefore, circle the word, therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown. So warm he greets them this farewell. So stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore Euodia, and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Verse 3, and I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names, listen, whose names are in the book of life. Verse 4, very familiar verse. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. What a beautiful thing. Number one, mark it down, church, if you would. In verse 1, we learn about this. How to have the peace of God when? That is when we are living and breathing as a church among and with others, is to do this, believe it or not. Is to be very wary of the fact that we have forgotten who we are. Can you write that down? As Christians, we need to be very careful. How to have the peace of God when we have forgotten who we are? You say, Jack, what do you mean by that? Well, Paul says it this way. He says it in verse 1 by saying, therefore, my beloved and longed-for brethren, my joy and my crown. Will you write this down? Irregardless, because of the grace of God that brings the peace of God, which ought to result in the joy of God, the fact of the matter is the scripture declares to you and I right now, therefore, that is because you're a believer. Church, do you trust Jesus Christ to keep his word? If you do, you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're trusting him, and the Bible says that we are beloved. We are longed for. In fact, mark this down. We are the beloved of God, and we'll see it this way in verse 1. When he says, therefore, my beloved, my longed for brethren, these words, just in this verse, all the scholars agree that the usage, the verb usage of the Apostle Paul, of course, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, is the most affectionate, warm-hearted, tender statement that Paul makes in all of his New Testament writings, right here. He's wrapping them up in the arms of his love. He's declaring to them four key things. Number one, beloved. Adelphos in Greek. It's the root word to where we get Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. This word means, watch this, brothers and sisters of the womb. Not that we were born of the same mother. The word implies that we are brothers and sisters, as you've probably already figured out in an instant. We are born of the Spirit of God. That's what makes us true brothers and sisters. That's what makes us true members of the church, to be born of the womb, brothers and sisters of the womb, a birthplace of or by the Holy Spirit. Beloved, that's who we are. We need to remember that we, Christians, are called out from this world by the love of God, and he declares us. God's word says, you are beloved. You have come forth from, as it were, the womb of the Spirit, born of the Spirit. Jesus, of course, taught that in John chapter 3. The next word that he says here is longed for, the beloved, that they are longed for. This is a very amazing word. It means to be yearned after. Listen, it means to be focused upon. It means to be greatly loved from afar. It's a verse, just comes to my mind right now, Colossians 2 verse 5, that basically announces that though we be absent in the flesh, we are united in the Spirit, and I rejoice in beholding your steadfast faith. To the family of God, distance doesn't separate us. To the family of God, we're united by the Spirit of God at work because we are born of the same spiritual womb, as it were. And it's a tremendous truth. We have forgotten who we are in Christ. We need to remember this, that we are beloved. We are beloved. See, Jack, I don't feel like it. It doesn't matter how you feel. God's word says it. We need to get violent about God's truth, pick it up and adhere to it, be stuck to it. And look, I am not, you know me if you've been at this church for a while, I am not one of those preachers that say, just confess it with your mouth, just say it, create your reality. You know, if you want to be rich, then say it. No, I'm not that guy. I don't do that. I don't believe in that. But I will say this, when it comes to the truths of God clearly written, there may be some of you here today that you doubt God's love for you. You love the Lord, but you feel as though you never matter or you never reach up to the level, some standard that you've set. Understand this. The first way, and by the way, I can relate to that. I'm a spiritual workaholic. And I confess that it is not a good thing, okay? But if you're thinking today, well, you know what? Jesus loves me more because this, that, or the other. Listen, you need to repent of that because God loves you anyway. Christian, listen, his favor has been set upon you because of what Christ has done. And believer, listen, that's how you begin your walk with Christ and that's how you're going to end your walk with Christ, by God's favor. You're beloved of God. And maybe you need to remember this portion of scripture. If you've got to look in the mirror and say, I am loved by Almighty God, then go ahead and do that.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
But God loves you. And the apostle loves the church at Philippi. And he's such a great example. And they're longed for. They're yearned for. And he's writing from Rome to them in Macedonia, and he's yearning to see them. It's been 12 years since he had physically seen them. And then the word joy. He says here, my joy. Notice, my joy. In fact, watch how this comes together. My joy. The word means my cheerfulness. The word implies that when he thinks about them, he gets joyful. How cool is that? Isn't that great? The word also means to have a calm delight. That means it's strong. It's calm, but it's strong. It's there. There's a cheerful delight about it. It means gladness. And then he says, crown. That there is crown. The word is Stephanos. There's two, predominantly that is, two Greek words in the New Testament for crown. You know that Jesus, for example, wears the diadem, the crown of the ruling king. And then there's the Stephanos, the crown that's mentioned here. It's a crown that is given to the Olympian that reaches the finish line. They're given, the word here means a woven wreath placed upon their heads, crowned as victor. And that victor wreath set that athlete out from all the others who competed. And Paul is saying to them, to the believers, to the church, you are my crown. What a wonderful thing. What a tender thing to say. The Bible tells us, by the way, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. 1 Thessalonians 2, 19. For what is our hope, says the apostle? Listen. Or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. The apostle is saying that when Christ returns, my joy is going to be that you have lived a life that honors Christ when he appears. That's my desire too. I think it's your desire. I mean, there's going to be a generation that when Christ comes, he's going to interrupt that church service. I hope it's today. And I want to be able to say, you're my rejoicing, you're my crown. I'd feel so embarrassed to say such a thing, but I want to be able to like agree with Paul and say, I've taught them the word of God. I've not kept back the full counsel of God, that I've instructed them to look for your coming and in the meantime to be busy about our Father's business. And I want to be able to say that if Christ would come back like Paul, I'm rejoicing in the fact that that is the reward. That's what Paul is saying. You are my reward, Philippians. Boy, we need more ministers like Paul today. And notice the result of this. It is that peace and that grace. In Colossians 3:15, it says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Listen, when you're beloved and when you realize you're longed for And when you are the joy and the crown, the target of love, there's a peace to that that comes into your life. And you might want to put this down. I think it's awesome. A lot of Greek scholars say that the actual rendering of this portion of the verse reads like this. Look at your Bible. Therefore, my beloved and my longed for, my brethren, my joy, my crown. Do you hear that? Wow. Their success in the faith was everything to the apostle. The second thing we see right here is a tremendous military term. Look at this. Verse 1 goes on to teach us that we are the defended of God, that God defends us. He says, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. Stand fast. The word stand fast here is a military command. It means to be stationary of God. Listen, it means to be preserved by God. It means to be defended by God or of God. That we are surrounded by God's defense. That stand fast is a term that means you get down in a position. And here's what is kind of amazing about the word that is used here. It's a word that was synonymous with the gladiators. And the gladiator, if you were watching a gladiatorial fight, and if it looked like one gladiator was going down, it looks like he's not going to make it. The gladiator had learned to stand fast. That's when he would employ this word, stand fast. It meant that in the face of certain death, in the face of absolute loss, there was a position that they were to take. We would say it today, I'm not going down without a fight. Remember that? You know that term? That's the same thing. When the gladiator realized, you know what? I don't think I'm going to make it. Instead of saying, uncle, or I give up, or time out, the gladiator would go out with dignity. He would take a stance of fighting, and people knew, you know what? He's done, but he's not quitting. Do you hear that? Christian, you may feel, or maybe your day comes when you're done. Our time's up. Your time's up, but you're never quitting. Was it Winston Churchill who said, it's always too soon to quit? We're in a battle. We're fighting, and Paul says, stand fast. Take the position. Now, we know that Christ will defend us no matter what. You say, well, Jack, what about this and what about that? Christ will defend us. Yeah, but I lost this battle in court. Being defended doesn't only mean escaping the perils of this life. Being defended is God has given us a guarantee to present us safe and sound in the kingdom of his love, of heaven. God will do that. He'll never let you down. He will never forsake you. We're defended by God. Stand fast, he says to them. In the Lord. Circle the word in. In the Lord. That's our strength. In the Lord. Ephesians 6:13 says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. There you go. Gladiatorial, centurion, Roman word, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, verse 14 says. In fact, look at verse 14. Ephesians 6:14, stand your ground, says the New Living Translation. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body of armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith. Stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Isn't that awesome? His arrows don't have to hit us. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the spirit or the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 18, pray in the spirit at all times and in every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. The soldier, stand. Why? Because God is our defense. We have often forgotten, Christian, the fact that God will defend us. We're beloved of God. God says he'll defend us. And Paul is encouraging the believers. The second point we see in verses 2-3 is this. How to have peace, the peace of God, when? When what? When we have forgotten what we are. When we have forgotten what we are. The Bible teaches us that we are ministers. Just for fun, let me see your hands. I do this, I abuse you often on this. How many of you are Christians? Raise your hands. Okay, did you know that as a Christian, you are servants of the Most High God? You don't, if you're waiting to be ordained or recognized by some institution or organization to serve, you got it all wrong. God's people are servants, they're ministers, and we are ministers to one another. That's God's call upon our lives. We're to minister to each other. What does that look like? I think it's an infinite picture of what that might look like. Now, before I read this, can you imagine what we're about to read here? Let me put this. Paul is writing this to the Philippians. He writes it out. He hands it to a guy by the name of Epaphroditus. And he's going to leave Rome and he's going to take it to the church at Philippi. And he's going to go into the gathering and he's going to read it out loud. That's what they did. When the book of Ephesians arrived to the church at Ephesus, someone got up in the podium or they got to the gathering of believers and they read it out loud and the believers heard it for the first time. Are you with me? So remember, let's just put on our little sandals and robe for a moment, and it's 21 centuries back now, and you're sitting in the church and Epaphroditus shows up and he has the letter from Paul, and Syntyche and Euodia, two women, you haven't been getting along in church. You've been griping back and forth. You've been eating each other up with words. You have a rift going on. It's causing problems in the church, but you're sitting there, and Epaphroditus comes to verse 2, and he says, I implore you to be of the same mind in the Lord. Can you imagine? They're sitting there, oh, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Yeah, the church is going to be great today. Oh, we heard we have a letter from the Apostle Paul all the way from Rome. And these women are busted publicly in a church gathering. Can you imagine? They might have been sitting there. They got their hat on. They got the little flower going. And they just got done singing a song. And they just start sinking in their seats. Their name is read. That's amazing. 21 centuries later, we're looking at these names. How'd you like to be these two ladies? You know what they forgot to do? They forgot to be ministers one to another. We know that they're amazing women, by the way. Paul's going to commend them tremendously. By the way, ladies, you need to get excited about the fact and remember this. Wherever Christianity is preached, the lifestyle and standards and liberty and freedoms of women are always exalted. Women had a prominent role in the first century church and to this day. They served greatly. They were powerful in the body of Christ. Remember that. I love the fact that the first evangelists of the resurrected Christ were women. Think of that. God loves his better creation. I mean, men, you know, God made man and he made us out of dirt. But women were made out of the side of man. It's amazing. Not that God needs to practice, but women seem to have an amazing, I don't want to say natural because it's supernatural, but women seem to have almost a natural propensity to better relate to God. See, you just ask her right there. See that? That's what I mean. Men, it's kind of like when we read about things in the Bible, men, it's hard for us guys, especially if we were brought up with a father figure that was standoff-like. It's difficult for us to break some of those things. Women just seem to make a beeline right for the heart of God. And that's awesome. And God seems to reward that.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called How to Have the Peace of God When, Part 1. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Philippians, a letter from the Apostle Paul who surrendered his life to Christ for the sake of the gospel. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey, this is Pastor Jack Hibbs here, and I am personally inviting you to come and join us for Just Church. You heard me right. In Southern California, mark your calendars, September 8th at 7:30 in the evening, we are going to host Just Church at the Honda Center. We're going to have just worship, just the Bible, everybody, just us getting together. That's why we're calling it Just Church. Friends, listen, you just come. Everything else has been paid for. We've handled everything. You don't have to pay for parking. You don't have to pay for anything. You just come. And if you are right here locally in the greater Los Angeles area, or maybe you're hearing us right now in New York City, why don't you make plans to join us September 8th, Friday night, for Just Church. To learn more, go to justchurchsocal.com, and I'll see you at Just Church.
It's Friday, September 8th at the Honda Center in Anaheim. Register now at justchurchsocal.com. That's justchurchsocal.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.